Welcome to this episode of Mentors at Your Benchside, the podcast giving you advice, tips and tools for getting the most out of your research. I'm Thomas Warwick, and today I'll be explaining convocal laser scanning microscopy in three simple steps. Fluorescence microscopy images not only look great, but also allow us to get a better understanding of cells, structures and tissues. It's a tool for discovery. And with confocal laser scanning microscopy, we can discover even more. It combines high-resolution optical imaging with depth selectivity, which allows us to do optical sectioning. This means that we can view visual sections of tiny structures that would be difficult to physically section, like embryos, for example, and construct 3D structures from 2D micrographs. The origins of CLSM. The principle of confocal microscopy was patented by Marvin Minsky in 1957, but it took a good few years before it was fully developed to incorporate a laser scanning process. The technique essentially scans an object point by point using a focused laser beam to allow 3D reconstruction of the micrographs. In a conventional microscope, you can see only as far as the light can penetrate, whereas a confocal microscope images one depth level at a time. Applications of CLSM. So, what can you use confocal laser scanning microscopy for? It's useful across most of the sciences. Here are some examples of specimens you can study using CLSM. Organelles, cytoskeletons, and cell membranes in cell biology, neurons, synapses, and dendrons in neuroscience, embryos and organoids in developmental biology, immune cells and pathogens in immunology, cancerous tissues and tumor drug interactions in cancer research, polymers, metals, and ceramics in material science, and pollutant distribution in environmental science. So, as you can see, it's useful beyond biology. As for how it works, I'll start with a brief explanation and then move on to a more thorough one. A confocal laser scanning microscope works by passing a laser beam through a light source aperture, which is then focused by an objective lens into a small area on the surface of a sample. An image is built up pixel by pixel by collecting the emitted photons from the fluorophores in the sample. Now for the more thorough explanation. I'll give this in three parts. 1. Photon production. Confocal laser scanning microscopes are based on conventional optical microscopes, but instead of a lamp, a laser beam is focused on the sample. The intensity of the laser light is adjusted by neutral density filters and brought to a set of scanning mirrors that can move very precisely and quickly. One mirror tilts the beam in the X direction, the other in the Y direction. Together, they tilt the beam in a raster fashion. The beam is then brought back to the focal plane of the objective lens, which focuses it onto your sample. If your sample is fluorescent, part of the light will pass back into the objective lens. This light travels back through the same path that the laser travels. The effect of the scanning mirrors on this light produces a spot of light that is not scanning, but standing still. Number 2, sample scanning. This light then passes through a semi-transparent mirror that reflects it away from the laser and towards the detection system. The first object in this detection system is the pinhole aperture, which is in the intermediate image plane of the microscope. This allows only a small central portion of the light through to the light detectors. If this light originates from sample fluorescence, it will be a different colour from the laser light, and emission filters are used to separate it from the laser light that has been reflected from your sample. If reflected light is being examined, it will be passed through a polarizer that will allow only laser light with a different polarization angle from the initial laser light to pass. Thus, fluorescence and reflected laser light are separated. Number 3, photomultiplication. Any light that emerges from the CLSM's optical system may have a very low intensity, and so the photomultiplier tube, or PMT, is used to detect and amplify this light signal. Photomultipliers are capable of amplifying a faint signal around about 1 million times without introducing noise. The output from the PMT is an electrical signal with an amplitude that's proportional to the initial light intensity. This analog electrical signal is converted to a series of digital numbers by an analog to digital converter in the computer. As the laser beam moves along the specimen, the detection system constantly samples and converts the PMT output and displays them on a computer monitor in the correct order. All of these complicated steps occur so fast that the display seems like it's showing a real-time image of the sample. The components of a CLSM. Now we know how confocal laser scanning microscopy works, what components make the magic happen? Check out Figure 1 in the corresponding online article for a diagram of confocal laser scanning microscopes. The following descriptions correspond to that image. The laser. Laser photons are used to illuminate fluorophores in the CLSM experiments. Laser lines can be chosen via a selection device and matched with fluorophores found in your sample and used in your experiments. The beam splitter. This filter separates the excitation laser light from the light emitted from sample fluorescence, ensuring you see/detect light from your sample. The scanner. This unit is based on two or more mirrors which guide the focused laser beam across the sample specimen pixel by pixel and line by line, left to right, also known as raster scanning. The objective lens. These are the heart of the microscope and primarily determine the optical image formation and the resolution limits of the microscope. The Z control. This is one of the key components of CLSMs that enable you to construct 3D images. It also allows you to focus on any focal plane within your sample, and the motorized Z-stepper allows precise step movements in the axial direction of the sample, normal to the horizontal plane. The pinhole. This is an adjustable iris in the intermediate image plane. It excludes most of the out of focus light from the acquired image and thus provides optical sectioning capacity. It defines the thickness of the optical slice and is dependent on the properties of the objective lens. The pinhole size can be set via software on your computer, and the best trade-off between the efficiency of light collection and optical sectioning is if it is set to one area unit. The photomultiplier tube. These highly sensitive detectors collect photons emitted by your sample. They basically transform the light signal into an electrical one that's recorded by a computer. And in doing so, they multiply the current produced by the incident photons by several orders of magnitude, hence the name. As we can see, confocal laser scanning microscopy is a complicated technology with a lot going on underneath the surface. Many different processes are happening quickly to give you the image that you see on your screens. But now we know how samples are reduced to fluoresce using laser light, how 3D images are built from 2D micrographs, and the componentry that makes it all happen. So that's it for confocal laser scanning microscopy. Check out the episode description for links to related articles and resources, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get more help and advice from mentors at your benchside.
Are you always on the go, but still seeking valuable insights to advance your research? Well, look no further than Listen In, the podcast from Bite Size Bio that offers the benefits of webinars in a portable format. With webinars featuring leading researchers and commercial specialists discussing techniques like CRISPR-Cas9 and microscopy. With Listen In, you can tap into their expertise and drive your research project forward efficiently and productively, no matter where you are. Visit bitesizebio.com/podcasts or search for Listen In your podcast app to subscribe.